Okay, last thing we finished was the Inyan of Hallel, and the next Inyan over here about the Kriyas HaTorah of Shavuos, we mentioned that it's important to come and listen to the Aseres HaDibros for men, women, and children from the earliest of ages, because they were the guarantors that the Torah should be given. Now, after davening, you have Musaf, and then the custom of eating milchiks, dairy products, on the first day of Shavuos. Now, Shulchan Aruch says, and there are people that have milchiks the whole first day of Shavuos for, at night and day, and Shulchan Aruch it says, really, I mean, it's brought down in others from there is such a custom. But the truth is that Yom Tov, you're really supposed to eat meat. Because the Gemara says, Ein Simcha, is only Simcha, you only have Bebasar, when you have meat and wine. So the din is, the proper way of doing things is, when you come home from Shul, you have to make Kiddush, and you have dairy. Now, you can either wash for a dairy meal with lechem mishin and then eat milchiks and bench, or you can make kiddush and eat, let's say, cheesecake, cakes of some sort, and then make a bracha chreina, and at least an hour later, as we'll discuss, then you eat the meat meal, or later, I mean, whatever you want to do. But the custom is, you first have to eat milchiks, then you can eat meat, because if you eat meat, you have to wait 6 hours in order to eat milk. After milk, or dairy products, the custom is some people wait a half an hour, some people wait less. According to the Zohar, and that's our minig, you wait an hour. Plus, not only do you wait an hour, you have to make sure to bench or say alamichya. In other words, you can't have, according to the Zohar, in one meal, wash, let's say, eat dairy, and just talk for an hour, and then in the same meal, go eat meat. You need to have a separation of meals. So therefore, you have to say the after bracha or bench, and then an hour later, from the time you finished eating, then you can go either wash and eat meat, or just eat meat, or whatever it is.
So it's not an hour from the benching?
No, it's an hour from the time you ate it, but you need to bench.
Do you have to wash your mouth out?
It'd be better to. It depends what you ate. If there's food that's stuck in your teeth, you should rinse out the mouth.
But you have to say 2 times
hamotzi? No, you could say, if you want, you could. I said, you can either make Kiddush and eat cake for Kiddush B'makom Sa'uda.
No, if you have dairy food, let's say pizza or
something. If you're eating pizza, you have to wash, yeah.
Can you wash for dairy but not wash for the meat?
Yes, you can wash for the dairy and not wash for the meat.
Why do we eat the dairy?
Okay, so we're coming to that now. Now, why do we eat, why is there a custom of eating dairy on the first day of Shavuos? Chalav Edvash Tachas L'Shoincha. Torah is likened to milk and honey, so you have milk. Another reason is because Cholov Ches Lamed Beis equals 40, Ches is 8, Lamed is 30, Beis is 2. Another reason is in Tilim Har Sinai has a nickname Har Gavnunim, which means Gavnunim is the green of cheese. Another reason why you eat cheese on the first day of Shavuos. There's another reason that the Rebbe gave, and we mentioned this many times. The Gemara says, and it's an interesting scenario. Shavuos, the original Shavuos, the first time when the Jews got the Torah was on Shabbos. According to our calendar, Shavuos can never fall out on Shabbos. You have the same thing, first day Shavuos. The same thing you have with Rosh Hashanah, interestingly. The first Rosh Hashanah fell out on Friday, when Adam Rishon was created. According to our calendar, Le'adu Rosh, Rosh Hashanah can never fall out on Friday. First day Rosh Hashanah can never be Friday, Sunday, or Wednesday. Shavuos can never fall out on Shabbos either, according to our calendar. But on the first day, when the Jews received the Torah, it was Shabbos. So what? So to understand this, there's a whole argument in Halachim, in Poskim, not in Poskim, in the Mefarshim of, in the Midrashim, did the Jews keep Torah mitzvahs before it was given? One thing is clear, according to most opinions, Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov kept Torah before it was given. The question is, what's with the Shvatim? And the Jews in Egypt, did they keep the Torah? Didn't they keep the Torah?
How can we keep something that they have?
You have to come more often when we discuss these, the explanation of this. We explained this a few times already. 1 second. What happens is, if the others kept the Torah or not, we say Avraham Avinu kiyem kol ha-Torah, kol Yitzchak kept the Torah, Yaakov kept the Torah. Whether the Shvatim and the Jews in Egypt kept Torah is questionable. Even if you say they did, even if you say that they kept kosher, it's self understood at Matan Torah, when the Torah was given, it was the mass conversion, the Gerus of Bnei Yisrael. In fact, all the a lot of dinim of conversion we learn out from what happened. The Gemara in Yevamos learns it out from what happened in Matan Torah. Now, even if the Jews kept Torah, they did not have the same status as Jews that they had after Matan Torah. Well, a lot of dinim from Rus, a lot of dinim from Matan Torah. So now, the Rebbe explains as follows, that when the Jews got the Torah, it was Shabbos. Even if they kept Shechita before, even if they shechted meat before, it still wasn't good enough Shechita for after Matan Torah. So when Hashem gave the Torah Shavuos in the morning, which was Shabbos, what can the Jews eat? The meat that they shechted yesterday wasn't good enough anymore, because now they're in a higher level of Jews. So the only thing they had to eat was dairy.
And Shabbos you can't shech.
Shabbos you're not allowed to shech. Yom Tov you'd be allowed to shech. Shabbos you're not allowed to shech. Huh? Somebody asked me an interesting question. They also had besides the Monday, they had the food that they ate. They had the slav, they had meat, they had all the stuff. So if they wanted a shech, they couldn't shech Shabbos. So what did they have in the practical sense beside the man? They had milchitz. What?
If they were given the Torah on Shabbos,
yeah,
they didn't learn it all in one day.
But they had to keep all the mitzvahs starting from Matan Torah.
Meaning that they knew it from before.
Whatever they did know, whatever, now they had to keep everything.
Now I finished the book of 600 laws, right? And says, learn it all and make sure you keep everything starting in an hour.
But if they wanted to shecht, Meshach Rabbeinu would tell me, hey, you can't do it.
Anyway, it's related to food.
Everything. Food.
Can you put up before the Jews? You see that line?
The Medrash says they kept learning Torah even in Mitzrayim, so they knew a lot of the laws. Matan Torah accomplished that the physical world was able to become holy. Before Matan Torah, like we learned in Chassidus, the physical world didn't become holy, but they knew all the halachas. The question is, were they obligated to keep it, and did they keep it? The obvious were not obligated to keep it, but they kept it anyway. The Shvatim and the Yidin and Mitzvah, we said, is a machlekes in Medrash, if they kept it in.
The Torah was revealed to Moshe Rabbeinu before it was given to the Yidin. It was up there taking.
No, that was afterwards. He went up on the sixth day of Sivan. Moshe didn't go anywhere. Sixth day of Sivan, Shavuos, Hashem came down and gave the Torah. The next morning, Moshe went up to Har Sinai, stayed there 40 days. Came down, broke the Luchas, went up again, went up a third time, 40 days. And came down finally in Yom Kippur with the second set of luchas. But Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't on the mountain yet. Moshe Rabbeinu went the next day, Zion Sivan, the next day after Matan Torah, he went up to Har Sinai.
But he still didn't have the luchas before he went up.
Right, but Hashem, in the Aseret HaDibros, is 620 letters, corresponding with all 613, plus the seven rabbinic mitzvahs. Everything was given at that time at Har Sinai. So whatever the Jews learned in mitzvahs before, even though they didn't have to keep them then, but they still, when Matan Torah and Matan Torah came, they had to keep them.
How do we know the fact that Shlomo HaMelech made like the idea of Eruv? I mean, are the seven rabbinic mitzvahs...
Everything was given to Moshe Mitzvah as a mitzvah. But it wasn't revealed until Shlomo HaMelech's time. Until Anshe Knesset
Zagadot. Practicing it until that
time. Correct. But everything originated in Har Sinai.
Was the Arab Rav present for
Matan Torah? Yeah.
So did they get the same kind of communication when
Aseret HaDibros were given? Not only were the physical Jews that were alive at that time, including their tagalongs, and most of them died in the Egel because they were very involved in the Egel, but most, in Pirkei Rabbi Elazar says that every neshama of every Jew of every generation was in Matan Torah, and Pirkei Rabbi Elazar says the neshama of all halachic converts, were all present at Matan Torah. Everybody was there at Matan Torah. The Erevah was there physically.
How many neshama
were
there?
Huh? when they left Egypt, they were the tag-alongs. So obviously later on, by the eagle, it showed what they really were. But Al Pidin, they had a din of the Eden by the aid of Rav. Yeah, and told them, sure.
So there were 12 million people who witnessed my father, too.
But they say 3 million, why?
Well, I mean, Erev Rav plus...
It depends what the Erev Rav was, how many people were the Erev Rav. But you had 600,000 Jews between the age of 20 and 60. That's men. So at least double that is women, plus kids under 20, or people under 20, and over 60. So you're talking between 2 and 3 million Jews.
When the Torah counts the Yidden, it counts the Erev Rav too?
No,
because it only goes by the Yud Bei Shvatim. The counting was only according to the Shvatim. The Erev Rav belonged to no Shevet. They were the tag-alongs. They didn't belong to any Shevet.
What does Erev Rav mean? A guy who wanted to convert? Or a guy who...
No, the people that went out with the Jews from Egypt. The guy made Erev Rav, all
eat them. So they were going from left Egypt.
Yeah, but they tagged along with the Jews to become part of the Jewish nation.
It
says there was a lot of Erev Rav. Matan Torah was the mass conversion of Bnei Yisrael.
From what?
From being non-full-fledged Jews. When did the Jews really become Jews? In the complete sense of the word. By Matan Torah. That's what I'm saying. That was the main conversion process. There was Kabbalah's mitzvahs, there was Milah, there was Tefillah. I mean, the Gemara discusses all the things that we see from the Psukim that happened at Matan Torah, which was part of the conversion process.
Prior to that, how many actually studied Torah? Or started learning the 613?
In Mitzrayim, the Jews constantly learned the Torah, the Medrash says. Me'elam le'paski yeshiva me'aviseinu. Now, Levi was full-time students, and Levi was the Rosh Yeshiva. But they had Jews learn Torah. Yeah,
4D. Was they telling them that Moshe Rabbeinu would come and take him out to Har Sinai?
Right.
But also in Egypt, we know that they were Avodah Zarah.
There were Jews that were Avodah Zarah too. That was not a contradiction to learning.
So
they can learn and be Avodah Zarah at the same time. They obviously didn't learn. They obviously didn't learn. And they didn't learn Bereishis and Shmeis either, to tell you the truth. They learned Halachas, they learned the Dinim of Avodah Zarah, they learned Dinim that probably that they would have to know for the future. It doesn't say exactly what they learned. It says Avraham Avinu had a Masechta Avodah Zarah that had 400 chapters. There were like we said many times by the Chumash class we were discussing. If Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov learned Chumash, right? So, and if they learned Torah, you would imagine that Yaakov Avinu learned Chumash. Now, if Yaakov Avinu learned Chumash, wouldn't he know what happened to Yosef? Wouldn't Yitzchak know who Esav really was? Wouldn't Yehuda know who Tamar was? I mean, come on, take every story of the Chumash. He wasn't a good student.
He learned that he learned Torah too.
So the question, what did they learn? Yaakov Avinu learned in yeshiva 14 years, day and night. Rashi says only b'mokim ahu, he slept in the yeshiva, he didn't sleep for 14 years. He was learning Torah day and night. So what was he learning? Chumash. He couldn't have learned Chumash. I mentioned this, they tell a story, this old lady used to read Tzana Verena, you know, the stories of Chumash. And every year, she read the story of Yosef and the brothers. So Yosef went to the brothers and they kidnapped him. And she screamed out, he deserves it. Why didn't he learn it from last year? He didn't learn his lesson from last year. He does the same thing again. He goes to his brothers and they throw him into the pit. Didn't he learn his lesson? He deserves it, she said. You know, but what did they learn? They learned whatever they learned.
Rabbi, right. The written Torah that we have now was given out 40 years in sections.
Rashi says, when Moshe Rabbeinu came down in Har Sinai, he wrote the Sefer Torah from Bereishis until what happened then. As incidents happened along the 40 years in the Midbar, so Torah kept being added until Moshe Rabbeinu, the day he passed away, he finished writing the Torah. But like we said,
Yeshua.
In Yeshua. The book of Yeshua. Yeah. There's a whole argument who wrote the last eight psukim of Chumash. So some people say Moshe Rabbeinu wrote it with tears, and some people will say that Yeshua wrote it. But the halacha is that Moshe Rabbeinu wrote the whole Torah, the Rambam says. But the story, the Rambam says that the whole Torah, the Rambam passed the halacha that Moshe Rabbeinu wrote the whole Torah. But that Torah was written sections as it went along. When the story of Korach happened, they wrote Korach. Hashem dictated what to write. So he wrote, this is what happened, you know, in dictation of Hashem. And in fact, that's the whole question that we discussed before already once. In Tefillah, there are four parshiyos of Tefillin. Two are in Shmeis, and two are in Devarim. Right? If you have in Parshiyos of Tefillin, Shema and Vahayim Shemaya, is in Chumash Devarim, which Moshe Rabbeinu said in the 40th year, Rosh Chodesh Shvat. Okay? Kaddish Li and Vahayim Kiviyacha, the other two parshiyos, are in Parshiyos Bo. So the Rishonim ask, what type of Tefillin did the Jews wear in the Midbar? They didn't have Shema and Vahayim Shemaya yet. So some of the Rishonim answer, they had a four-boxed tefillin, like we have in the headpiece, but they only had two parshiyos in it. Kaddish Li and Vahayi Kiviyach. Shema and Vahayim Shema didn't exist then. So they couldn't put it in. Later on, after it happened, they put it in. But they knew there was going to be two more.
So they had like a Torah scroll that they kept on adding pieces to.
Yeah.
Sewing it on.
Well, Moshe Rabbeinu actually finally wrote on the day he passed away, the day before.
The whole thing?
Yeah. 13 Sefer Torahs.
That's pretty fast.
So the Mefarshim will discuss how he did it. The Rebbe learns Papashtas, he had a lot of people writing it for him. Hashpotzes HaKumas, but the Shail is, if Moshe Rabbeinu died on Shabbos, how did he write it? Oh. So some Sefer says he wrote it Hashpotzes HaKumas, the pen wrote by itself. So then the Rebbe asks him that, now the Rebbe allowed it, it's Maisa Nisim. And this is not a kosher, Sefer Torah is miraculously written, it's not a kosher Sefer Torah. Because it has to be in Derech HaTeva. So the whole thing that Rebbe learns that he wrote it on Friday. He passed it on Shabbos, may should have been, but he wrote it on Friday and he didn't write it himself. He had people writing, but he made him do it. So it was like, he right.